Welcome to the Cajon Valley Podcast. This is Ed Hidalgo. I'm the Chief Innovation and Engagement Officer for the Cajon Valley Union School District. I'm here today at Montgomery Middle School with a very special guest, Ms. Arlen Shammo. She is a sixth grade student here at Montgomery who most recently gave a TED Talk last year, and I'm very excited for this conversation.
What do you want to be when you grow up? A cardiologist, teacher, photographer, or a microbiologist? I have a lot in mind, but I don't know for sure. How do I decide?
So, good afternoon, Arlen. How are you?
I'm good.
How's your day going so far?
Good.
What have you been up to?
Nothing much. I'm just in class.
You're just in class. Okay. That makes sense, of course. So just for a little bit of context, before we jump into our conversation, I was at TEDx last year, and we were actually in a break room where there was a TV, and someone said to me, is that person who's giving a TED Talk? Because we were obviously showing the TEDx talk in all of the break rooms. And someone said, is that person speaking about the Ryosec? And I said to myself, well, I don't know. Let me hear about that. And sure enough, it was you speaking about the Ryosec, giving your TED Talk. And I had no idea who you were. I had never met you before. And then when your TED Talk came out on YouTube, I listened to the whole thing. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And so I said to myself, I want to meet this person. And I know she's matriculating into middle school, but I don't want to speak to you too soon. I want to wait till after the first of the year because I want to see how much you can remember about the Ryosec and if it really sticks. And so I met with you a couple weeks ago and we had a chance to sit down and talk about this podcast and what you'd learned. And I was just so impressed. So it's exciting to have you here on the podcast. And so tell me, Arlen, your big idea we're spreading at TEDx, is that still a big idea of yours? Do you want to share that idea with our listeners?
Yeah, I think Ryosec is a big deal that a lot of kids don't actually focus into. I think it needs to become something that is worth spreading because a lot of kids don't actually know what they're going to be. And actually, a lot of people are familiar with this app, TikTok. And I was scrolling through TikTok one day, and I saw this girl, and she's like, oh, hey, hashtag, I went to college and high school and everything, and I went there for like 6 to 8 years, and I did something that I didn't actually enjoy, and now I can't go back because I already spent all this work and time on it, and now I don't even enjoy my future job. And I was like, that's what happens when you don't look through what you actually want to be. You choose something that you don't actually like.
That's so insightful. And that's really something that we're hearing quite a bit with students. They go off to college, they complete, some don't complete, and they're asking themselves, why did I do this? In fact, there's more than $1.6 trillion in student loan debt right now that students take on. So making sure that students have a path, know themselves, know their options, and make informed choices is really important. Arlen, tell me, first of all, tell our listeners, what are your Ryosec themes? Have they changed? Are they still the same? Tell us a little bit about your themes.
My Ryosec themes are A, E, and S. They haven't changed since last year. I think I'm A, I enjoy a lot of music and stuff, artistic and stuff. And then S, I'm social. I enjoy helping a lot of people. When people are struggling, I'm just that type of person that will go there and help them. And then for enterprising, I do enjoy singing too. I'm probably not the best at it, but I enjoy singing and I like music a lot. And then for social, I just really like helping. It's a lot of fun to help people. I like seeing people accomplish things, even though when they say they can't.
Well, and it's so important to have friends like that. And certainly someone like yourself here in school who knows the Ryosec themes, how much better prepared are you to be able to participate in project work, supporting of other students, et cetera? How does knowing your Ryosec themes help you in school?
It helps a lot, especially if once you get into like higher grades, like high school and college, because that's when that's the time when you start thinking about jobs, start thinking about what you're going to do in the future. So it's great to know your Ryosec codes, because imagine not knowing. Then you have to go look through all of the jobs. If you know a certain amount, then it's so much easier just to go look through and see what you want to be.
That's so true. I think there's hundreds of different majors at a university level. And how does one choose? How does one select? What we're really excited to see is that many universities have started to classify the majors by the RYSEC. And that seems like something that would be pretty useful. What do you think about that? You know, as you're looking into a course catalog of majors, that alignment to the RYSEC, what are your thoughts about that? How could that be useful for a student?
It would be a lot more useful instead of having to look through all of them, but they could just look at the RYSEC code, press a certain section, and just look into it. It'd just be so much easier rather than spending all this time going into or accidentally picking something you don't even actually enjoy.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Now, do you think that many of your classmates know about the RYSEC? What have you seen? And are they starting to learn about the RYSEC? Do they have the same amount of interest as you do? Do you think that your knowledge is unique to your classmates? What do you think is, what are you seeing?
I don't really see most students talk about the RYSEC codes. Some don't even know. I remember asking sometimes, they don't even know the RYSEC codes. They go, I don't know, I forgot. I'm like, do you ever try looking into it? They go, no, I don't really care. I'm like, okay. It would be a lot more helpful. And I wish I could know like everybody's RYSEC codes just to tell them, but like, I can't. They have to take their test and everything.
Yeah. Do you think, because some people might say, that we're starting too early with students, that in these early age, your RYSEC themes are going to change? Are we trying to get students stuck on particular themes where they'll think that they're never going to change? What is your thought around your themes changing over time or changing your letters? What are your thoughts?
I think that it's good to start at a younger age rather than like an older age. It's okay if your thoughts change because you might enjoy something different. It doesn't really matter because you're still going to know what you enjoy. It's not like, oh, you have to restart everything. Like, it's not like you're in college. It's better. Imagine being in college, just taking the test, and after a while your things, your letters change, and then you're already studying into something and now you can't change it. So it's always better to start at a younger age because it's easier to change your codes and change what you're going to study at a younger age.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess my question for you, and what maybe some of the listeners are wondering, have we told you what your themes are? What was the process for you to identify your themes?
In elementary school, we would at like the end of the year, we would always have these like tests that you would take, and you would just look at your RYSEC code. So you would take the test. There'd be a lot of questions like, what do you enjoy? What are some of your hobbies? Like a lot of things like that. And then they would give you some codes after. And we had like 3 separate ones that we had to take just in case, like to make sure that they were accurate. So when I took them, I got all 3 of them, A, E, and S.
So tell me about the feeling that you had when you read about each of those themes through that assessment that you took. How did you feel when those letters came up? What happened to you? Like, what were your thoughts?
I read them and I was like, wow, I actually do enjoy this stuff. And it was really helpful for me because some of the things in here I never really thought about. Like, there was like some other things that I never really even knew that I actually enjoyed. And I was just looking at it, reading it. I was like, oh yeah, I do enjoy that. And I was like reading it and stuff. And I was like, it's really cool now that I know that I actually do enjoy that as well.
That's fantastic. And I think for many adults would actually have a similar sensation, right? If they took the assessment, because the RYSEC, is it just for young people?
No, you could do this at any age. But I do think I prefer for kids to do at a younger age rather than like a really older age,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're in college studying something other than they actually enjoy.
That makes sense. And I think last time we talked, you mentioned something about a family member, perhaps, that's trying to make...
Yes, my sister.
Tell us about your sister.
She's 17 right now. She's in high school. She doesn't really know what she wants to be. So I want her to take a RYSEC test so she can know when she gets into college, because next year is her last year of high school. And she's still not really sure. Like right now, because like, I don't think in high school they're starting, like I think they're looking into jobs right now, but like not actually really doing it. So I'm just like making sure that she knows what she's going to be. So for high school, when she actually goes in for like certain things, she needs to know what she wants to be.
Arlen, I know that you lead with artistic, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Or you lead with social? What do you claim as number one?
Number one, probably social.
Social. I keep, every time you respond to one of my questions, I see a career counselor sitting in front of me, a future career counselor, for what it's worth. I don't know that that's on your radar, but I'm thinking that a lot of young people and adults could learn from you and the knowledge that you've been able to gain. This self-awareness that you have, but also these insights into other people It's really impressive. And I'm wondering, is the language of the Ryasek more than the letters? What is it about the letters or the descriptions or the definitions? What has made the biggest impact about the Ryasek?
The biggest impact is not like just a letter. It's more of when you actually look into the letters and like look at what they actually mean. So you know what like there's actually going to be on there. If you just look at the letter, okay, E, enterprising, wow, okay, I'm enterprising. But if you actually look into it, it's going to be different. There's a lot of jobs and stuff that it tells you that you're interested in. So it's a lot easier if you look actually into it instead of just be like, okay, I'm enterprising.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so for someone who's maybe listening to this, maybe it's a teacher's listening to this or to a parent, how do you see this being integrated into the classroom? Like, is this a separate activity that happens, or can it be integrated with other course content or things that you're learning, particular subjects? What are your thoughts on that blending or integration of the Ryasek into the classroom? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, it could be like, I think you could do it separately or put it in the work. Like for Miss Ward's class for history, we had 2 days that we did it. She had Ryasek stations, and then every single Ryasek, like there was a station, and then for every single one, there was a subject. So it was like I or E or S, and like we would just do it and look at which one. And then after, like when we were done with it, she gave us a slip where we wrote about which one we liked the best and like which one we enjoyed.
So let me kind of rephrase what I think I heard is there was a Ryasek themed station and students moved from station to station. And did they have a hands-on experience in with an activity that related to each of the Ryasek themes? So the students are actually doing something.
Yes.
At each of the stations.
One of the stations, you had to make like an Instagram post. Another, like for C, for conventional, I remember, it was you were a teacher and you made a quiz and stuff. And then for like other ones, like for artistic, you colored a lantern because we were learning about... I'm not sure. I forgot what it was, but we made like these little lanterns things. I think we're learning about China, and we put like we have to draw two things on there that we know that they traded.
Amazing. I'm really excited about even your recollection of the experience. Do you think that the connection with the experience helps you remember what you were learning that day in class?
Yeah.
And what is it about that? What do you think it is about that experience? And the letters, the connection of both. What is it about that that helps you remember maybe the learning intention of that day in class?
It helps remember because we actually got to do something. If it was just like, okay, you're going to go to artistic, read about it, it would be like, okay. But we actually got to do something different for every single station. It would help me remember. And it was like a 2-day thing, so I got to like experience it actually. And it wasn't just like, okay, it's going to be a one period thing. You're just going to go on there 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. We got 20 minutes for each station. We got to do whatever we want. That's why it was 3 days.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'm wondering, what was the energy like in the room as you were experiencing each of the stations? What did it feel like? What did it sound like in the room? Can you describe it for our listeners? What was the mood in the room? What was happening? What did it sound like to you?
There was a lot of different opinions, and people were starting to notice what they're what they're interested in. Because I remember this one guy, he went to artistic. He's like, I don't like this. And then Miss Ward's like, then you're probably not artistic. He goes, I know, I'm probably not. So then a lot of people were like, I don't enjoy this. Or some were like, yes, I really enjoy this. So it actually helped for others to see like what they actually enjoy, just in like simple things that we were doing.
That's great. How was the energy in the room?
It was good. Like, a lot of people enjoyed it just because, like, it's not like Miss Ward just did. She's conventional because she's a teacher. She told us that. So it's not like Miss Ward just got conventional, put it there. Okay, everybody's going to be what I want. She let everybody do all the things. So it's not just all about her.
So I'm hearing this piece about student choice,
mm-hmm.
where students get to go in, participate, have hands-on experiences. Tell me, was there a reflection time? As part of the experience, did students get a chance to take a step back and think through which themes am I? Because this is much different than the test that we talked about earlier, right? We talked about the assessment that you took and you saw the letters and you were excited about that. But there's something different about having an experience and then having a chance to step back and reflect and think, which of these themes are really mine? Was that something that was able to happen during that experience?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
After the days when we finished all the stations, Miss Ward handed us all a paper that had like it had little simple questions like, which one did you enjoy the most? And, like, why did you enjoy it? And stuff like that. So at the end, everybody got to write which one they enjoyed and why did they enjoy it.
That's fantastic. That's amazing. And I think one of the things that we want our listeners to take away with this work is that it's one thing to learn about the Ryasek themes. It's one thing to be able to take an assessment and see your themes represented in the results. But what is so critically important is the opportunity for students to reflect and be able to take ownership over those themes. At the end of the day, I'm not nearly as excited in what an assessment tells you are your themes. I'm so much more excited, enthusiastic when a student can identify those themes, claim those themes, and articulate why those themes represent who they are. And I think that's a common theme that's been heard throughout this conversation so far, Arlen. And it's why I'm so impressed with your work and what you're doing. I'm really thinking now back to the beginnings of this work, the first time that this was ever introduced to you, where you were, who your teachers were, and what was happening. Because I think last time we talked, you had kind of some special messages for two particular teachers at your former school. And I think it'd be really neat for them to hear from you. So can you share a little bit about which school and who those teachers were and the investment they made in this experience, in these experiences for you?
It all started at Meridian with, it started in like third, kind of fourth grade with Mrs. Lee, my teacher. She helped me a lot. She was the first teacher that I kind of had that started looking into the Ryasek, and we did a lot of tests in her class, and she helped a lot with a lot of things, and she helped me a lot to understand like what Ryasek that was. And then once I got into fifth grade with Mr. Peterson, that's when they're like, because at our school, fifth grade was the grade where you got the higher chance to get into a TED Talk and actually make one. So he helped me a lot, and I made it about Ryasek, and Mrs. Lee was one of the coaches at, I think it was Greenfield Middle School, where we went there to study, and she helped me a lot to know like what I was writing. She helped me to remember it, and like, she helped me to talk about the Ryasek in it, and it was really helpful.
Huge shout out to Miss Lee and Mr. Peterson for being brave and willing to start this work early. They are amazing educators in our district. We're so proud to have them here. And I think to get a chance to meet you, you know, really a product of their hard work, care, we couldn't ask for anything more from our educators. So it's amazing that you think back and you remember them and the impact that they made in your life. You know, I think most of our listeners probably have never even had the opportunity to give a TED Talk. So what does it feel like? What did it feel like to give a TED Talk, to prepare for a TED Talk? What happened to you as a result of having a TED Talk? Did you become famous in your family? Tell us what did it feel like?
In third grade, the first time I did it, I was, you know how when you're young, you don't really like understand a lot of things. So when I was young and I first did my TED Talk when I was in third grade, I was 7 years old. So I wasn't scared about it. I thought, oh, okay, it's a normal show. Wow, I'm just going to talk. In fifth grade, it was when the realization started to come to me. Okay, I'm going to go on stage and talk in front of hundreds of people. That's when I started getting a little bit nervous. And when we were going to practices, it was easy. I was just practicing in front of a couple of coaches and stuff. But when the day came, I'm not even gonna lie, I was backstage and I was like so scared for my turn. And I made some friends during practice and I saw them go and they did great. So then when it was my turn and they were like putting the microphone on me, I was super nervous until I finally walked out and I saw everybody and I calmed down and I started saying my TED Talk and it felt great.
Recently, I explored my personal strengths, interests, and values. I was able to see that I'm a person who's both artistic and enterprising. That means, as an artistic person, I like to make new things. I like to use my imagination when I do anything. I enjoy acting, drawing, and singing. All of these things allow me to use my imagination and be as creative as I want to be. Throughout my elementary career, I have been a leader on a Lego engineering project, held one of the leads in a play about the Gold Rush, and am the captain of Safety Patrol. All of these activities showcase my leadership skills, which are part of the RISAC Code Enterprising. If you don't know what RISAC is, it is an acronym that represents specific strengths, interests, and values that people might have.
Well, it was truly amazing to see your TED Talk. You did an incredible job. How do you think that experience is going to help you with your future?
That experience is going to help me a lot now that I know a lot about the RISAC. And it's probably going to be a lot easier for me now to present in front of people. After I did it in front of lots of people, I'm more used to it now. So now I'm not as scared anymore.
Yeah. Do you think those public speaking skills are important? What have you learned about public speaking and the importance of that skill for professionals?
I think public speaking is something really important, just because, like, what if you have something like really important to say, but you're shy and stuff. So public speaking could help a lot. And for me, I think in the future I would like to do a lot of public speaking, especially about the RISAC, just to help like get people to notice it and realize that they should do this at a younger age rather than get older than do it.
Well, I think the world could use a lot more coaches like you to talk about this and really coach other people up. I know too that there are some special folks in your world that have really invested outside of the school district in your future. And I remember the last time we talked, you had a lot of words to say about your dad and his unique view about you and your future. Is there anything you'd want to share about dad?
My dad is really amazing. He's a really big influence on my RISAC and like the passion I have about RISAC, because he tells me a lot, I don't want you to choose a job that you don't enjoy. Make sure you have a job that you like really enjoy. And he helps me a lot too. And he tells me all the time, focus on your grades, focus on school, then friends, and then like having fun and stuff. Like he's not like that dad, like, okay, it's the weekend, go read books right now. Like you're done. You're not going to do anything else. He lets me go out and stuff. But he's always like, when it's like the weekdays on school days, he definitely tells me, make sure you're focusing on your grades, get good grades and stuff. That's why I'm really into school and RISAC and stuff, because he's always talking about like, oh, okay, make sure like you're focusing on your future. And like days when he's off work and we're just sitting down and stuff, he's always talking about our future and stuff, talking about like, oh, what are you going to be? Like, make sure you're choosing something you enjoy. It's not something that you just hate. You're just like, okay, I'm just going to do it for the money.
It's so important. And certainly we know from research just how important parents are. In fact, most young people make their first career decision based on their parents' influence. So that influence cannot be understated. I'm wondering if you had a message to send to parents about their involvement with their young people, what might you say to parents?
Make sure that you're focusing on, you might already have your career, but make sure you're focusing on your kids' career and make sure you're helping them out. Don't, even if they're at a really young age, make sure you're talking to them about the future so they already have an understanding about the future. And when they get older, they're going to know like, okay, wow, this helped me a lot. They're really helpful about it when I was younger. So now I know a lot more when I'm older.
So there you have it, parents. Step up to the plate and get to know your students and provide exposure to them so they can be ready for the world of work. It's never too soon. So Arlen, I'm wondering, as we get close to the end here of our conversation, what can maybe we expect about your future? What are the things that you're thinking about maybe after middle school? I know we don't really want to look too far ahead, but maybe that's an exciting thing, right? We talk about this concept of students' possible future selves. And I'm wondering, what are you thinking about your future possible self?
I think for like a career, a job, I kind of want to be a photographer. I enjoy taking pictures a lot. And like, not only a photographer, but like, I don't see myself as, like I said last time, I don't see myself as doing a job in social, but I will help out on, like, even if I'm just at work or something and I see somebody struggling, like, I will help out. I don't see it as a career, but it's just something that I'll do on my own time. But for, like, an actual career, I'm really into taking pictures. I enjoy taking pictures a lot.
Well, and once again, you're so wise beyond your years. Because understanding how we can gain true fulfillment through the RISAC themes and through our interests, it doesn't always have to happen necessarily in the world of work. As we select hobbies, as we select volunteer opportunities, there's so many ways to partition out our interests in order to be fulfilled. And it should be a comprehensive kind of bigger view around how we serve community, how we serve family, how where we work, and the relationships that we have. So I think that was absolutely well stated. So one last question. How can we better support Arlen Shamo? What can we as a district do to ensure that you achieve your goals, your dreams, and your passions? What are the types of things that we can do maybe that we're not doing that you would like to see? Or what's in your head? You're our customer. In my mind, you are our customer. Our number one goal should be to make sure that we help you on a path to being happy and healthy relationships, on a path to gainful employment. What are the things that we can be doing to make sure that you achieve your dreams?
Some things that you guys could be doing, not only for me, but for other students at this school, is just talking more about the RISEC. And then like the other 2 weeks ago, I think, or 1 week ago, we had a pep rally, which on Friday we did a Monday schedule and we had 1 hour. I think we could do one of those, but not actually about the pep rally, but we could do one about RISEC. So I have 1 hour just to talk about RISEC, and maybe ASB can help set up stations like they did for the games on the pep rally, so people can go in for all the six stations, and they could do, because there's only six, there's not a lot, so they don't have to set up a whole bunch of stations. They could do 1 day sixth graders, 1 day seventh graders, or 1 day and 1 day eighth graders.
I think that's a great idea, and we're going to have to make note of that and see what we can make happen. So, Arlen Shamo, I can't thank you enough for being on this podcast. It's been an absolute treasure to have a conversation with you. We're so proud of you to be in the Cohen Valley Union School District. You're an incredible representative of our community, of our student body, and we're expecting big things. I mean, when we see such amazing talent in our schools, we look forward to young people like yourself that are going to change the world for the better. So I want to thank you for coming in today. I want to thank you for being brave enough to share your voice. And we look forward to watching your continued path into the future.
Thank you.
It is my dream that all students in the future will continue to have the opportunity to pursue their passions. This will allow them to lead their future, their dreams, their passions, and their lives in a positive, successful direction like I have. Your work will fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe in is great work. And the only way to do what you believe in is great work is to love what you do, Steve Jobs said. I challenge you to make sure you are passionate about your job and you know your own strengths, interests, and values, and follow them.
Okay, well, we have a unique opportunity not just to have heard from Arlen Shamo, but we also have instructional coach Miss Amanda Plasinski here. And it was so great to hear Arlen talk about the RISEC rotations that happened, I believe, in Miss Ward's class. And I think you had quite a bit to do with supporting that experience. So thank you for being with us. And it's a great opportunity to learn a little bit more about what was happening in Miss Ward's class.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is my third year as an instructional coach. And, you know, it's so interesting when we look at education now, we kind of tell ourselves, we tell our students, we're preparing students for jobs that don't exist yet. And when I went into education, my role right now did not exist. And I've been very fortunate to be able to, you know, give myself permission to exit my English classroom and push into all subjects of all grades and really work with teachers on creating meaningful, authentic experiences for their students. At the start of every school year, I put out a survey to them about what they might be interested in working on, whether it's project-based learning, whether it's world of work, whether it's presentation literacy, and they could choose one, they can choose all of them. They can work with me one round throughout the year or the entire school year. And Miss Ward really wanted to give her students a world of work experience that wasn't locked into just one of the RISEC codes. I think what had been assigned to her as sixth grade history was conventional and it was professor or something along those lines. But she was like, this isn't for every kid. How do we give something for every kid? And that's when we sort of had the aha moment of making each station one of the RISEC themes. And it was such a wonderful experience just popping into her classroom different periods over the course of those 3 days and seeing kids, you know, pretend to be Instagram influencers and talk about why they should travel the Silk Road, or to go to the artistic station and be lantern designers and have to include important items of trade within those lanterns. And like Arlen said, it was right. Students started to realize, oh, I did enjoy this, or I didn't enjoy this so much. So when they were able to have that debrief and reflection at the end, it really helped guide Miss Ward into what choice she should be offering her students, not just in that experience, but in future units of instruction as well.
Well, and we're so fortunate to have instructional coaches in our district that are outstanding like yourself and really can tie these pieces together to help our educators in the classroom, because obviously it's a busy schedule. There's a lot to take on. And I don't think we should shy away from the fact that learning how to integrate career-related learning isn't easy. I mean, this is a brand new language. We shouldn't shy away from that fact, that reality. So I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about the challenges with integrating, but then also perhaps what are the benefits of integrating?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the initial challenge right now is that embedding World of Work into specific content areas, it starts with a mindset shift. It starts with showing kids, here's why you're learning what you're learning. And, you know, middle school is where they start to get vocal. They start to question things. They question school. And a lot of the World of Work integration I've done with teachers this year really stemmed from, well, why do I need to learn this? So cool, let's pull in a professional. Here's how they're using volume and area and ratios and scaling. And this is giving them a paycheck every 2 weeks. So as an example, we had an aerospace engineer come and visit with our sixth grade math students, and a student stayed after class and asked for a pass to be late to his next period just so he could stay and talk with him longer. And his questions really just revolved around what he needed to do to get that degree as well. And he had questions about how hard it is and if you want to give up and what you do when you want to give up. And it was so great letting him connect with this individual, because he talked about the power of grit. He talked about the power of reading and how you're not going to be able to do the math if you can't read these theories. And if you're willing to just work hard and use your resources, you can definitely achieve that. And the smile on this child's face when he went to his next class was just beautiful. And I'm willing to bet we're going to have another aerospace engineer coming out of Montgomery Middle School. And it's been really nice to see people start to just take those risks. I've been working with Ms. Trinelli all school year on her financial literacy lessons. We call them Money Mondays. And it's something that we started slow to go fast, and we kind of had this really beautiful moment last week when they finally had to make their first credit card payment. And if they didn't pay it in full, figure out how much more it was going to be next month with that interest. And we heard a student say to their neighbor, "Oh my God, I need to stop spending money." And if that's not the biggest aha moment to have, and this is fake money we're talking about, you know, and how many times adults probably say that to themselves, you know, every month when that budget comes through. So it's been a really nice opportunity for teachers to give themselves permission to say, this is what's important. I am going to take 2-3 days or 1 day a week for an entire school year to give this opportunity to my kids. And then they start to really find their own strengths, interests, and values within that work.
And that's, I think, that's the goal at the end of the day, right? To help students really know themselves better so they can make more informed options, right? Know yourself, know your options, make informed choices. So I'm hearing in kind of your responses and what you're sharing that there's a level of engagement that increases with students in the classroom. And I think that's something that's echoed in many of the spaces that I've visited, many of the classrooms, the experiences that I've seen. I'm wondering about one other piece related to identity for students and students being able to really understand themselves through this process. Because this is the period of adolescent disruption, right? I mean, yeah. Students are trying to figure out lots of things. How might understanding who you are or this concept of identity maybe serve even as a protective factor against other challenges they face? Are you seeing that in students? I'm just wondering, because we just heard from Arlen, and you know, she's developing an identity. She's understanding who she is. And now, beyond that, being able to point herself, kind of aiming herself in certain directions. So I'm wondering about your thoughts as an instructional coach who sees kids across classrooms and grade levels, et cetera.
So yeah, not only has student engagement increased by bringing RiseSec codes in the world of work into content areas, but that student self-identity is definitely expanding. And as you've just heard with Arlen, this is a student who's very confident in what her interests are and what she wants to do and what she wants to explore, that the more students in middle school can find that identity, it's only going to improve that social-emotional well-being. And that's our big focus right now, 6 through 8. This is a rough time for kids. It's a rough time for their parents. So it's definitely a great avenue to support them and see where they have commonalities across classes, where they see it with students, and students they might not normally think they have anything in common with. These themes and these codes can be that bridge.
Well, and I so appreciate that comment. And I think it ties back to some of our hypothesis with this work. So much of the work is new, and we're trying. I think that's kudos to the site here at Montgomery and the teachers for being willing to try these new things. When we think about the period of adolescent disruption that happens in middle school, you know, we're curious to know if we build a foundation of strengths, interests, and values in the early grades, can we better prepare students to step into this 6th, 7th, and 8th time in their lives where everything's changing physiologically, developmentally? Can we help them moderate for that period? And so hearing your comments is really important. So thank you. I'm wondering too, what advice might you have for teachers? You've now helped teachers have some success with getting started. And I think a lot of times it's hard, just how do I get started? So what are your thoughts and what might your comments be to our educators who might be listening?
I think for our educators, the number one thing is be willing to take a risk. Ask questions, find people who have done something similar, and get ideas. Be willing to fail forward. Be willing to celebrate those failures, because they only result in bigger successes the more we iterate our plans and the more we try to, you know, keep pushing forward with this type of work. So much is already happening throughout our district. And one of the things I constantly tell teachers is, like, use Twitter as your Google. Those hashtag searches are going to give you the answers. They're going to give you the resources. And then it's, you know, look to the people around you. You know, your school is your family. You spend probably more time with them during a school year than you do your actual family. So use those resources and ideas to just keep making this work happen. And then it's that ripple effect. You know, it starts with that small few, then a couple others catch on. And then before you know it, you have a whole site that sees the value in something this big.
Well, Amanda Plasinski, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's great that you stepped in and shared your thoughts. Thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So for those of you listening in today, if you want to learn more about the Cajon Valley Union School District, please visit our website at cajonvalley.net. And if you want to learn more about the World of Work Initiative, visit our website, worldofwork.net. Thank you.
This podcast was recorded and edited by Brandon Sullivan. Our music was written and performed by Amanda King, Nick Matthews, and Brandon Sullivan. You can keep in touch with us by emailing us at podcast@cajonvalley.net. And we would also like to take this opportunity to thank all of the staff, teachers, students, and community partners of the Cajon Valley Union School District for their support of our mission, and without whose efforts this podcast would not be possible. Thank you.